Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Later on in the show, we'll hear from a Missouri-based photojournalist and writer about what he learned from his time documenting climate change in the Norwegian Arctic.
We should take note of how rapidly it's changing in the Arctic. I've been going there for 3 decades now. There's much less ice. The summers are longer, they're hotter, the winters are shorter, storms are more freakish, and there's no question that in the last 3 decades there's been rapid change.
But first, grants for laptops and iPads in recent years have been used to put more technology in the hands of Columbia Public Schools students. KBIA's George Varney visited some of these schools and has this story on how the new equipment is being used.
Here in Smithton Middle School, students in Nellie Schrantz's orchestra class clap in time with a music scale displayed on an interactive whiteboard. The whiteboard, branded as SmartBoard, is connected to a computer and overhead projector to allow students and teachers to use special marker styluses and their hands to interact with the projected computer screen. Mary Painter is the lead technician for Columbia Public Schools. She says some Smithton classrooms received laptops 4 years ago as part of a grant written by media specialist leader Carrie Townsend.
They brought in laptops to enable writing as well as the history portion. And since that grant is over now, they distribute them throughout the building, and they're using them in that way in the classrooms.
Just type in what you want.
Smithton students in Lena Abdul Wahid's language arts class use these laptops to research a World War II history paper while Wahid guides them on a SmartBoard. SmartBoards, along with iPads and laptop and desktop computers, are popping up in schools as part of the district's plan to use more educational technology in Columbia's public schools.
Finger Lake, one branch. Finger Lake State Park. I could try that.
Over at Midway Heights Elementary, fourth graders use iPads to map out a trip. This is the first year where iPads are used, one for every student in every fourth grade class in Midway Heights. Julia Nichols is manager of instructional technology at Columbia Public Schools. She says Midway is unusually technologically enhanced for an elementary school because of the teachers and faculty. All go through year-long technology training to ensure a uniform tech curriculum.
They were recommended by the different instructional technology specialists, and we worked with the principal to see if the principal would approve of this, because we're not changing anything that teachers teach. We're just giving them a different tool for the kids to use with their resources.
If I pull it up and it looks like you missed a lot, maybe you started on the wrong side of your paper.
In another Midway fourth grade class, students use handheld clickers to solve math problems in a timed test. The results are then wirelessly sent to the classroom SmartBoard, where the scores are graphed and compared. Nichols says the infrastructure, especially wireless internet, is also an important part of supporting new technology in schools.
We are so much farther ahead of the game than some of the other districts. No matter how fast we were putting it out in technology services, we needed it faster. And that's really what's driven a lot of the one-to-one initiatives, is now that every kid in every building can get onto the wireless network. We're just trying to open the doors to accommodate anyone's different style of learning.
While there is currently only a one-to-one iPad program at Midway's fourth grade, Nichols says she hopes to see more one-to-one technology initiatives in the future. George Varney, KBIA News.
Randall Hyman is a St. Louis-based photojournalist and writer. For more than 3 decades, he has traveled the globe covering cultural and environmental issues. Hyman recently spent 4 months in the Norwegian Arctic on a Fulbright project documenting climate change. After he returned, he sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra and told her that Norwegians are already feeling the effects of global warming.
They long ago stopped debating whether there's climate change. They live with it every day. The temperature in the Arctic is rising twice as fast as the rest of the globe. So that world is a good indicator of where we're headed.
And I know you spent some time on a research ship with scientists who are looking at some of those changes. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, the focus of the 2 weeks that I spent on the LANSA, which is the Norwegian Polar Institute's research ship, That was a group of 15 scientists, five of whom are divers. Believe it or not, dive under the ice in waters that are about 29 Fahrenheit. What they're looking at is they're collecting the microorganisms and also looking at the chemistry and the temperature and even density of the water to try to determine what's happening to the currents and how is it affecting the environment, the marine environment. This is done with a variety of instruments that can be dropped way, way, way down into the water. We're talking, you know, a mile deep or more. And what they've seen is that every year, every season, the water is getting warmer. It's going farther north. The sea ice is receding farther and farther. So they're following the ice, and they're following the changes in the temperature and the changes in the microorganisms, and then, of course, how that affects the rest of the species that depend on them.
This is a really extreme environment we're talking about. You mentioned diving in 29-degree water. Can you just describe a little bit about what that was like, both for you as a journalist to be on this research vessel for 2 weeks and for the scientists who are doing this kind of work?
It's fascinating. We started in waters that were ice-free, and we did all of this monitoring and sampling. And then we moved farther and farther and farther north. And then the object was to go as far north as we could until we hit so much ice that we couldn't move, which is what happened. And we moored our ship to the ice. And the trick is to find a hole, usually a breathing hole, that seals keep throughout the winter so that they are mammals, they have to have air. And that's a good place to jump down under the surface. For me as a journalist, perhaps the worst hardship was trying to film that. I'm not a diver, and I'm not going under the ice. I took a painter's pole and mounted a little head cam, or a GoPro, as it were, at the end of this extendable pole, and I followed the cords that lead down to the divers. They have to have cords, because when they're down there and they look up at the surface of the ice, it's just one big, long, white expanse. They can't find the hole. So they have to have a cord so that they don't get trapped under there without an air supply. And so I would just follow those cords and take a good guess as to what direction they were in and where to point the camera and hope that I wasn't just filming blue or a block of ice or whatever. And I was lucky. I had a lot of good footage from it.
Out of everything you saw, what's kind of the main message that you took away with you from your time in Norway?
Hi. The main message would probably be that we should take note of how rapidly it's changing in the Arctic. I've been going there for 3 decades now, and there's much less ice. The summers are longer, they're hotter, the winters are shorter, storms are more freakish, and you can't put your finger on any single item, but there's no question that in the last 3 decades there's been rapid change. And that's a reflection of what is happening elsewhere in the world. It's just magnified in the Arctic.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.